You heard my name. I'm Jack Cruz. I'm a neurosurgeon. One of my clients and friends, you guys may know, asked me to come here and kind of give you a lowdown about last 3 or 4 days, what I've kind of been through. And that's the only slide in my talk. I've had an interesting last 7, 8 months. I've been deplatformed in centralized medicine for the better part of 20 years. I'm the black sheep of centralized medicine. He's the black sheep of the Kennedy family. And Rick is the black sheep in the music business because, if any of you know his history, he founded hip hop while he was studying to be a lawyer at NYU and completely changed the music industry. The difference is the middle black sheep has become a cultural icon, so he cannot be canceled. And he happens to be also a patient and a client of mine. So I did a talk in El Salvador that was kind of interesting in August. And the person who decided to set me up to, how shall we say, meet Bobby Kennedy is someone that you guys probably know, probably the most famous technology company in the world. Him and his wife got divorced and they have an autistic kid. And she wanted to hire me to reverse the kid's autism. She offered me $100 million to build a decentralized hospital. And I told her I'd only consider something like that if it was done on my terms. And you know, when you deal with somebody who has $9 billion, generally, they don't like that. But I told her it couldn't happen in the United States. It's impossible. So long story short, she says, well, I would like to get you with Bobby Kennedy. Most of you guys know, and or probably have preconceived notions, you know, of what he is or what he's not. But she obviously wanted to get us together to talk about vaccines because she believes that the vaccine schedule in the United States had a big deal to do with her daughter's autism. And I told her in no uncertain terms that I'd love to meet with Bobby, but that wasn't really what I wanted to talk to Bobby about. The lady in question probably caused her child's autism. She's a patent attorney for Google, and the reason that all your computer screens are blue lit, the reason none of them are red lit, the reason none of them pay attention to circadian biology is because that original technology was developed in a government program that Bobby Kennedy knows about, and I happen to know about because I went to medical school at LSU. And for those of you who've never heard about Operation Paperclip and MKUltra, you think it's all conspiracy theory. So I'll ask you guys a question before we start. What's the difference between fact and fiction to you? Anybody want to scream it out? Fiction has to make sense. The truth doesn't. In fact, the truth, that's why people call it conspiracy theory, because it makes no sense until you see all the parts come together. So at Tulane Neurology and Tulane Neurosurgery in the 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s, the CIA started a program there where they would do all these crazy things to monkeys. And what the goal was back then, the CIA wanted to see how they could control things utilizing different things like drugs and things like that. Where the neurosurgeons got involved, which is my clade, we would drill the tops of the heads off, put wires into the thalamus, put electricity in there, and kind of see what kind of behavioral changes we could have. One of the guys that was in that program was a guy named Professor Delgado. He got the idea to take it in a bigger animal. When he saw that we could control the behavior with the wired device, he said, what if we do it wirelessly? So he checked it in monkeys and checked it in bulls, and it turned out you can do it wirelessly with RFID chips and semiconductors. Then the CIA took it to the next level. They said, well, since this is electromagnetic radiation and they begin on wirelessly, what if we did it through light through screens? And it turns out you can. And that's the reason why all your computer screens have the frequencies they have. So why is this all important? Well, the person that set this meeting up between me and Bobby is the patent attorney that made sure that Google and Meta have those things so they can control the things that we all do. Where did the original idea come from that started off in MKUltra with the CIA? You're gonna be surprised when you hear this. It came from the mafia in Las Vegas. They wanted to build a new city in a desert. They enclosed it all, blacked out the windows, invented slot machines that were blue lit, and they found out that they didn't have to take a gun, stick it in your face to steal your money. Then they even got smart. They said, let's give people free alcohol while they're doing that. And they found out they got the money quicker. And that's when the CIA got the idea to start this program. That's really how it started. So for those of you in the room, you probably know a little bit about Bobby Kennedy. I just told you a little bit about technology. I told you a little bit about the CIA, and I told you a little bit about the mafia. On November 22nd, 1963, his uncle was killed in Dallas, Texas. At that day, that's the day that I would tell you as an old guy, because I'm probably the oldest guy at this conference, that's when the heart of America was taken out. A couple years later, 5 years later, Martin Luther King and Bobby Kennedy's daddy were killed. And that's when the mind and the soul of the United States was removed. So one of the first questions I asked Bobby in this podcast, and just so you guys know, this podcast was done 2 days ago. It's not out. You're going to hear some things of why I wanted to talk to Bobby that is probably going to affect some of you. And I'll ask a question before I tell you this story. I'm sure none of you will tell me the truth, but how many took the mRNA vaccines? Anybody want to raise a hand? Okay, good. This story is going to be really interesting to you. So I did my residency at LSU, and in the 90s, we used to take care of brain tumors and different things like that, and down in the basement, we had a linear accelerator. Linear accelerator is something that is involved in nuclear physics. This hospital that I was in was a small, little, wispy hospital. So I finally asked a question, why in the hell do we have a $100 million machine in this hospital that clearly can't afford it? And it turns out the story was that the CIA bought this linear accelerator because of the programs that I mentioned to you at Tulane. And the name of this hospital is called Ochsner Medical Foundation. I did 2 years of my residency there. Dr. Ochsner, Alton Ochsner, is and was Dr. Fauci 1.0, okay? The reason why most of you don't know about him is tied to the reason why his dad and his uncle got killed, okay? So the CIA hired Dr. Ochsner, and Dr. Ochsner was the first head of the National Cancer Society. I want you to remember that. It's an important fact in the story I'm gonna give to you. In the 1950s, the focus was on polio. And the reason it was on polio is because our president FDR got it. He was succumbing to it, he's gonna die. He had a famous lawyer friend in New York who started the March of Dimes. You probably heard that. It was actually collecting dimes. All that research led to Jonas Salk and his vaccine. Have you ever wondered, anybody in the room, why Jonas Salk never won a Nobel Prize? There's a reason. It's called the Cutter event. And you may not know about the Cutter event. The reason why it's been scrubbed from the annals of medicine, it's also been scrubbed from medical textbooks. It's also scrubbed from the FDA website. But see, I'm an old guy. I trained at a time before cancer culture, and I learned about this in medical school. Basically what they did, Jonas Salk was tied to a pharmaceutical company called Cutter Pharmaceuticals, and this is, remember, 1951. We didn't discover DNA until 1953 with Watson and Crick. They used African green monkeys to grow the polio virus on to make the vaccine. The vaccine was made, and it was ready to be tested in 1950 and 1951. At the same time, a researcher named Dr. Bernice Eddy, who you probably also don't know because she was really the first doctor that was canceled, she did some testing on the Cutter vaccine before it was given to humans, and she injected it into monkeys, and every single monkey got polio. She sent that information back to the people at the FDA, and they were like, there's no way, we cannot stop this rollout. This caused a big stir. Dr. Ochsner, who is running this program with the help of the federal government, he actually worked for the FBI and the CIA at this time, was so adamant that he took his grandchild, a female and male, in the amphitheater of Tulane Medical School down on Carrollton Avenue in New Orleans, place that I did my residency at. I've been in this amphitheater multiple times. And he injected both of his grandchildren. His grandchild, the male, died in 2 days, and the granddaughter got a mild version of polio. It was at that time that people realized there was a big problem. But the bigger problem came when Bernice Eddy started to look into this. She found out that there was multiple viruses that were grown in the polio vaccine that went out, and 120 million people in the world from 51 through about 55 and 56 got this. The one that you guys may have heard of, because it's been in the news a lot, something called SV40. What does SV stand for? Simian virus 40. That tells you there was 39 others, but simian virus 40 is important. And African green monkeys have this virus in them. It is in them, doesn't bother them at all. They don't get any problems. But when you take SV40 out of any African green monkey and put it in any other animal, they always get soft tissue cancers, 100% guaranteed. So Dr. Ochsner, as I told you, was the first National Cancer Society president. He began to realize very quickly from 51 through 55 that there was going to be a huge cancer outbreak in the next 40, 50 years. His best friend politically at that time was a California politician you may have heard of named Richard Nixon. And Richard Nixon, when he became president in 1971, started the war on cancer. The reason why is because they knew what the cause of this problem was. So, what happened? The original goal of Dr. Ochsner was to try to figure out a way to solve this problem that he, in fact, caused by rolling out the polio vaccine. So the linear accelerator was brought by the CIA and placed in a place called a U.S. Public Health Hospital. And this is across the street from Children's Hospital in New Orleans on Henry Clay Boulevard. Why do I know all this? Because I did my residency there. Right across the street is this big three-story building that just sticks out like a sore thumb. And the outside of this place is kind of like the outside walls that you've seen in this building that we're having this talk. And it looks like a military installation. At the same time, a lady named Sarah Stewart, who went to the University of Chicago, she was an expert in viruses causing cancer at a time nobody believed it. She was kind of like the black sheep of her day, like I'm the black sheep of mine today. And she was recruited by Dr. Ochsner. At that time, she was reassigned from the NIH to the U.S. Public Health Hospital. And at the same time, an orthopedic surgeon named Mary Stewart, they're not related, but they went to medical school together, she was an expert in nuclear physics. She also was an expert in bone cancer. To this very day, her stuff is still cited. They both were brought to Ochsner Medical Foundation, and then covert research was begun. What was the goal? They tried to cure the cancer they caused, but instead they found something interesting. Every time they used electromagnetic radiation on SV40, and remember, this is before they knew anything about DNA, they found that the cancers got worse and worse and worse. And instead of getting it better, they made it worse. And the reason now, in modern molecular biology, we know, X-radiation or high-energy particles breaks DNA up into little pieces, Okay, so they created a bunch of little pieces. So 1959 comes along. Bernice Eddy is at a New York Academy science meeting and drops the bomb in front of an audience just like this. People that knew about what was going on with the polio vaccine, but they didn't know that the polio vaccine had SV40 in it. She decided to out it to the public because she felt what was going on behind the scenes was kind of dastardly. And you'll find in centralized medicine, this happens quite often, not just about vaccines, about a lot of other things like cholesterol and heart disease and neurodegeneration. But that's not what this talk is about. So the next step that happens, in 1959, Fidel Castro has a revolution in Cuba. He takes the island over. All of the guys that were most pissed off were guys in the mob. They lost all their casinos. Other people that were pissed off, guys like Dr. Oshner, who don't like communists. The reason why is Dr. Oshner's hospital, even when I was a resident there, used to have all the flags of Central American and South American countries because he took care of all the dictators around the world. He was also very ultra-right-wing conservative. It's the reason why he was friends with Nixon and Ronald Reagan. And he was not really a big fan of Kennedy. So the idea came upon, what do we do with this problem? So just like any good politician, always use a tragedy for your benefit, they decided to make a bioweapon out of the polio vaccine, and they used the LINAC to do it. Now, what we know today, and we didn't know then, is that electromagnetic radiation creates an increased rate of the way this DNA is taken up into a virus. That's the way that they knew that they were creating a stronger and stronger virus. So what did the CIA want to do? They wanted to put it in tobacco and deliver it to Fidel Castro to kill him. If they couldn't do that, they wanted to inject him with something. So they had to have a plan to get somebody into the country to inject him. And that's where Lee Harvey Oswald came in to the story. Any of you, and many of you may not know the story because you're so young, but Lee Harvey Oswald was given the opportunity in the 50s to defect to Russia and come back to the United States very easily. It was kind of the craziest story ever. But it was a front story so that Fidel Castro would not think that Lee Harvey Oswald was a CIA agent. So that way he could be the person to deliver the payload when time came, when it was ready. So now we're in the 1960s, 1962. We have the Bay of Pigs. Bay of Pigs is when his uncle did not give any Air Force protection in the Bay of Pigs, and one of the airline pilots, who is a disgraced Eastern Airlines pilot named David Ferry, got shot down. He became really anti-Kennedy at the same time. Dr. Oshner actually hired him too. So he worked on the team with these two other famous cancer researchers, just a disgraced pilot, because they needed bodies to run an off-site program to continue to strengthen this bioweapon. Then they found a young girl, 18 years old, who won a science award in Florida, Bradenton, Florida. Her name's Judith Vary Baker. She started to work on viruses as a cause of cancer back in the 1960s, which is very, very unusual. And Dr. Oshner recruited her, promised her if she worked in his lab, that she would get advanced standing in Tulane Medical School and become a doctor very quickly. So that's the group of characters we have in 1963. The summer of 1963, the experiments continued, and they made a bioweapon. The day before Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech, Lee Harvey Oswald, Clay Shaw, and David Ferry went to Clinton, Louisiana, where Dr. Oshner directed Angola death row inmate to go to a mental hospital in Jackson, where David Ferry injected this toxic soup to see if it would work. Okay? And this shows you the level of ethics that were going on at this time. Judith Ferry Baker had to come back to the hospital 2 weeks later. the gentleman to confirm that he got cancer, which he did. He died 4 weeks later. The reason why this is a big story, any of you watched Oliver Stone's JFK movie, you'll note that the only person that was ever prosecuted for John F. Kennedy's death was Clay Shaw. And the reason why he was prosecuted, why he was linked to this, the prosecuting attorney was Jim Garrison. Jim Garrison's daughter, Virginia Garrison, was my ER nurse my intern year in my residency. That's how I know a lot of this data. So what happens next is Garrison puts Clay Shaw on trial. The trial's unsuccessful, but the reason the trial was unsuccessful is Dr. Oster is like a rock star in New Orleans, and Garrison knew that he had the goods on him, but he didn't go after him. That was probably a big mistake. He decides to go after David Ferry next, who's the disgraced pilot I told you about. He's a very weird guy, but David Ferry winds up dead the next day. They find him in his apartment, and interestingly enough, they find a document kind of like this with all these scientific things, and it's got different chapters, and it's all about cancer-causing viruses from monkeys. And Garrison had the smoking gun, but he had no proof at all. Judith Vary Baker was shuttled off to Florida after all this. And then the craziest part of the story is Mary Stewart, the famous cancer researcher, in an accident at that U.S. Public Health Hospital, grabbed a stick to turn a machine off and incinerated her whole right arm, her thorax, her face. Funny thing is, she wasn't found at the hospital. She was found in her bed on Magazine Street in New Orleans by a smoldering mattress theory. This is 6 months after JFK's killed. What's the reason for all this? Because they have to hide what they were doing in this private lab. That was the last link that would link you back to Dr. Fauci 1.0. Effectively, after the bad prosecution of Clay Shaw, everything was lost to science. The interesting part was all the things that they did, because Mary Stewart's house was scrubbed of all her medical belongings. They couldn't find anything. Somebody finally started to ask the question, well, where'd all the monkey virus shit go? Turns out, my anesthesiologist, when I was a resident, his name is Dr. Riopel, his dad ran the Yerkes Lab. Yerkes Lab in New Orleans is a place that we used to do the operations on the monkeys, and we do peripheral nerve surgery. I actually worked in this lab in the 90s, but this stuff was going on in that lab for MKUltra and all the other stuff in the 60s and the 50s. Everybody knew about it. So PETA, the people that don't like you eating animals, when I was a resident, they broke in to our lab, let the monkeys go, and I was quoted in the paper saying something in New Orleans. Ever since that time, I've had a lot of trouble with activists for PETA. So much trouble that I told earlier today, even didn't know this by Googling me, about 12 years ago when 3,700 people were supposed to come hear me talk on a cruise ship, somebody from PETA said that I was bringing a biologic weapon on the cruise ship, and the FBI came in and ransacked the cruise, ransacked me, took me off the cruise ship. They wouldn't let me back on, even though 3,700 people came to see me. Why? Because people knew that I knew some stuff that I probably shouldn't know and didn't want anybody to talk about it. So the chain of events with this monkey virus gets transferred in 1964 to the Delta Primate Center in Covington, Louisiana, where they do primate research under the direction of the Department of the Military, the DOD. This place has been open since then. Dr. Riopel's dad ran that place. And the reason I became aware of that is because the day that I was in the Times-Picayune talking about it, I asked Dr. Riopel about this issue. I said, look, I know your dad used to work there, because he would never talk about what his dad was involved with. But he did that day when I was getting ready to do a craniotomy in the middle of the night. And some of the things that he told me made me start asking questions. I started putting things together. And I said, I need to find out what happened with that monkey virus? So it turns out in 1971, the monkey virus research went to Fort Detrick. If any of you see the black sheep of the Kennedy family up there, he just wrote the takedown book for Dr. Anthony Fauci. In that book, you'll see all the links to Fort Detrick. From 1971 all the way up to the Patriot Act, when they knocked the Twin Towers down, all of our biologic weapon stuff was done in the United States. Ironically, several viruses got out when Obama was president. Obama shut down the bioweapons program. And guess what he told Dr. Fauci to do? Go offshore. And guess where he went? Wuhan. So, gain-of-function research continued. Now, this is one of my members, okay? He pays me to make sure that I'm protecting him and his family. On July 4th, 2020, I had 100 members at my house. I told them there'll be no American flag. And I'm going to tell you two things. We're going to talk about two things: decentralized medicine and decentralized money. I said, make sure you buy Bitcoin. At the time, it was about $7,000-$8,000. I said, but make sure when they come out with this vaccine that you never take it. And I warned them then, we're talking 3 years ago, that I think there's a pretty good chance that you're going to find out in a messenger RNA vaccine, we're going to find DNA plasmids that are not supposed to be there. And we're probably also going to find out that SV40 is contaminating the viruses. I want you to remember this timeline. I never talked about this publicly, ever. Why? Because I'm a little bit smarter than probably I am right now. The virus comes out. You guys can have whatever ideology you feel about it. I think you probably know what mine is. But the real story breaks about 2 months ago. 2 months ago, and you should write this name down because you need to follow him on Twitter. His name is Kevin McKiernan. He worked on the Human Genome Project for Craig Venter. So he's got serious chops in molecular biology. And he now works in the cannabis industry. And he decided to take Pfizer's vials and test them for those DNA plasmids and the SV40. And guess what he found? They're in there. So of course, you can imagine when he posts this on Twitter, all the wackadoodles that, you know, are pro-vax wanted to bury him. So one of those wackadoodles, also a very accomplished molecular biologist at the University of South Carolina, named Philip Buchholz, second name you want to write down and follow their Twitter account. He did the testing 4 weeks ago and confirmed that finding. So now, most of you, while you've been herbitizing and drinking and partying, you didn't know that the vaccine really was adulterated. And guess what? Neither did Bobby Kennedy. And I had an inkling that I was right. So I called my friend, Rick Rubin, because remember, he's the black sheep that is not cancelable because he's an awesome dude and everybody likes his music. I said, Rick, if we do this, it's got to be you, because when this information comes out, I think there's going to be a lot of pissed off people. They're going to be really, really upset. So to put this whole thing together for you guys, because I really want to make sure you understand why this is decentralized at its core. What's the game? It's not the game that you hear on Twitter that people are doing this to depopulate. No, they're doing exactly the opposite. They want a lot of you to be their slaves to get soft tissue cancers. The reason why? What's the number one profit center, centralized medicine in the United States? Cancer. We make more money off cancer than anything else. So what happens, and you know, can back me up on this, he's the financial guy. How do you launder money? You need a big pile of money. And when you wanna keep running wars, like Hamas, like, I don't know, Ukraine. You know, war is expensive. And you have to rehypothecate money to run those games. And I know most of you urban guys, I found this out today, I didn't know. Most of you are actually Bitcoin maxis like me. But don't you find it kind of interesting that in the last 2 or 3 weeks that all of a sudden, now we're going to get a spot Bitcoin ETF. Why? So they can rehypothecate the 3 million coins that are left on Bitcoin. And we all know what's been going on with TLT in the bond market. So through this whole story, in August, where some of you may have met me, I was in El Salvador. This guy keeps coming up. He calls me up and says, Jack, I got a bunch of wackadoodle guys down in El Salvador, but I want you to come and give them a talk. And I think somebody from the president's administration might be in attendance, and you might be able to get your decentralized medicine ideas in front of them. So long story short, I went there. I was probably the lightning bolt for the whole conference because I went after everybody who spoke. And I was the last guy. And I basically made the case that there's lots of things that we should be able to do in El Salvador because it is fully decentralized. But the number one thing is that I said that we should have a medical freedom law in the Constitution. So for some of you who were there, you know who was there from the Bukele administration. What you don't know is when I left Masada, 5.5 hours later, I wrote the medical freedom law for the Constitution of El Salvador. For those of you who don't know medicine, that's Benjamin Rush, original signer of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, who petitioned John Adams and Thomas Jefferson to put this law in our Constitution. And they could not envision at any time that this would ever happen. So it never got put in. So most of you are Bitcoiners. Every single time we talk about Bitcoin, don't we sit down and say, let's talk about angles of attack, how we get fucked, and this and that. Well, guess what? The politicians in Washington, D.C., and the CIA and the FBI have been doing the same thing. How can we attack the U.S. Constitution and do it so the obedient idiot voters give two flying shits? Well, guess what? Turns out it was medical tyranny. How did it start? Well, we started the war on cancer with Nixon and Dr. Ochsner. That was real successful because it started to create huge amounts of money. We started putting up places like MD Anderson and Sloan Kettering, and cancers just kept growing and growing and growing. Everybody else had everything scrubbed. Along comes Ronald Reagan, who, just so you know, in part of the Kennedy assassination, which you can read about in two books that I'll tell you about later, he was part and parcel of this situation. And he agreed to step down so that Nixon could be the president first. But what did President Reagan do? First big thing, he created a law called the Bayh-Dole Act in 1980 that allows researchers to profit off their research. That was when the fuse was lit. What happens in 1982? Ronald Reagan puts Dr. Fauci in charge. Then what happens? Dr. Fauci, after the Patriot Act, when the CIA and FBI realized that you can't do bioweapons research in the United States because the way the laws were written then, it was an act of treason and you could be hung. So what did they do? They made Dr. Fauci the most expensive employee in U.S. federal history, more than the president. He makes $50,000 more than the U.S. president. And he was in charge of all the stuff that was at Fort Detrick. And that's when he started to put it in the Ukraine, and he started to put it in China. Okay, he had a good friend named Peter Daszak at North Carolina, EcoHealth Alliance. These were the guys that designed the messenger RNA. So I knew about all this in 2018, 19. And this is why I warned my tribe. Never, never comply. Most of you don't know who I am. You can go to my Twitter feed right now, and there's a little box there that says, do not comply. When they tell you to do something, fucking run away. Now, the real bad news, if you took the jab, you got some risks. But I didn't come here to talk to you about that. I came to tell you, when I sat down with Bobby Kennedy, we talked about all of this. And it's all filmed and it's on tape. You are the first human beings to hear this story. I've never told anybody this live. Some of my friends, but not all the parts. But I told Bobby, and Bobby confirmed a lot of things that you just heard here. That's the real reason I wanted to talk to Bobby. And Bobby Kennedy told me that he thinks he has a plan to solve it. I'm going to be quite honest with you. It's probably the only negative thing you're going to hear me say about him. I don't think his plan's going to work. And I've told the people down in El Salvador that there's only one way to stop this. Like, if you don't want history to keep repeating itself with this issue, you have to have a Medical Freedoms Act. So when I left Mazada, I wrote the law in 5.5 hours and I sent it to the Bukele administration. The Bukele administration told me in 24 to 46 hours, I need to be ready to go meet the president of El Salvador. And guess what? I did. Met him in his house. He said, tell me the story. My brother said that you had some very interesting to say, but I want to hear why you wrote what you wrote. So I told him the story of Benjamin Rush. Told him the story about why his uncle, why his dad, and why they're probably going to kill him. And why they want you to get cancer. It's a decentralized medicine story. I've done my due diligence. This is the law in my hand. I cannot let you read it, but let you know that it's here, but I am going to read the first part. Public Health Freedom Act of 2023. The people of El Salvador do enact as follows. Unless we put decentralized medical freedom into the Constitution, the time will come when centralized institutions in healthcare will organize into an underground, covert, authoritarian bureaucracy. It will restrict the art and science of healing to one class of people and deny privileges to others. It will constitute the Bastille of medical science. All such laws are contrary to freedom and liberty. They are despotic and have no place in a constitutional republic. The Constitution of the Republic should make special privileges for medical freedom and religious freedoms related to the practice of healing. Therefore, these laws should be added to our founding documents to protect the public health from tyranny from this day forward. I can tell you that it's not passed yet, but I can tell you on pretty firm authority, it's going to be. And all I want to say to all of you, do not trust fucking anybody. Anybody who's centralized. I have an absolute disdain in my heart for centralized medicine because I know what they're capable of. You need to realize that too. You need to realize that things that are centralized at their core have fundamental weakness and flaws. And you need to think about that. You need to think about the way you do things. There's things that are going to be coming, especially the poor people of Europe. They're not going to be able to get out. These policies, these are run by people you need to run away from. Bill Gates wants to block the sun. You block the sun, you set this off. Not to scare the hell out of all of you, but the devices in your pocket, the devices you use are capable of making smaller DNA plasmids and smaller fragments of SV40. So if you're a heavy tech abuser and you got the shot, my advice is come visit me in El Salvador because you're going to need the sun so that you don't get soft tissue cancers. And just to follow this up, how did I track all this and be very quiet about it for 3 years but warn my members? There's a gentleman on Twitter named the Ethical Skeptic. Write it down. He's a former Navy intelligence officer who's been tracking the data and has been publishing since the first month the vaccines were given. There's a huge spike in deaths not associated with COVID, deaths not associated with complications of the vaccine. It was something else. Everybody ignored him for almost 2.5 years. The day that Kevin McKiernan, who's our modern day Bernice Eddy, he's the one that told the world, now it's been confirmed by the other side. This is no longer hyperbole. This is no longer conjecture. This is fucking reality. And you need to know that. You need to live in places that protect your freedom, not take it away. That's the purpose of this. I'm hoping to build that in El Salvador, where I think freedom reigns. And I will tell you what Bobby told me. I sent Bobby the law. I had to get clearance from the Bukele administration because it's not passed. I sent Bobby the law about 2 weeks ago. He called me up and we talked for almost 2 hours on the phone. And he said, Jack, no American politician can pass this. I want all of you Americans out there, let that fucking sink in. That's how dysfunctional this country is. That they're not even willing to fucking save us. That's some bullshit. He even told me, and I told William this before this talk, that he said not even Ron DeSantis in Florida could get this law passed. That's how restrictive I've made it. Like, this is a no bullshit law. He did tell me though, because Rick moderated, I said, Bobby, could you pass pieces and parts? And he had his healthcare attorney, his name is Aaron Siri, call me up. I spoke to Aaron, and Aaron told me that we obviously would love to get pieces and parts of this in our platform. He goes, but it's almost nuclear in the United States because of how big pharma controls the lobbyists. But this is what he did say. And I shared this today with several of my friends in this room. He said, Jack, if El Salvador passes us and Bukele passes, they are one of one. They're the unicorn. And you, most of you know that a lot of people call Bukele a dictator. He's given his people medical freedom and money. Now he's going to give them medical freedom for healthcare, and he plans on doing medical freedom for the internet too, all in the next 6-7 months. So I want you to know what your risks are. I don't want you ever to come to me and say, you didn't tell us. I'm here 2 days after that picture. Made it happen. That's the only reason I'm here.